It can be really hard to buy just the right gift for that guy in your life, or even for the right, for the girl in your life. But Harry's makes it super easy. We're talking about high-quality, amazing razor blades that you're getting for half the price of normal razor blades.
That's right, and I shave a lot of territory.
You sure do. I'm looking at your shiny bald head right now.
It's not just there, Sarah. Let me tell you something.
Oh, do go on, Vin.
I have a gleaming, shiny, smooth taint right now, all the way from back there, around the front, and up the chest.
Boy, that is what I wanted to hear.
Smooth, clean, no cuts. You're going to love Harry's razors.
They've got a gift set. This is a custom and limited edition shaving set. It makes perfect gifts. The sets come ready to gift in beautifully designed gift boxes. They start at $10.
This holiday, give Harry's and give handsome.
Aww.
Shipping cutoffs end this week, so act now to get your gifts delivered in time. Go to Harry's.com/secret show right now. That's Harry's.com/secret show.
This is the Sarah and Vinny Secret Show on RadioAlice.com. Just a heads up, it's not for work, it's not for kids, but it is a good time. Available right here on RadioAlice.com.
You only hear it on the Secret Show. You won't find it on your radio. Oh, maybe enough to know that Sarah and Vinny's got a secret show.
Are we rolling?
Yeah, well, we're rolling, but rolling, we're waiting on.
Hey, Rudy, tell them about the event I took you to.
the most interesting charity event that I've ever been to.
What was it for?
It was Holiday Heroes. Sounds like a great cause.
Is it for children or something?
For children.
Disenfranchised youth.
Of course.
Disenfranchised youth. So the way that they served the disenfranchised youth is by not allowing them.
No, don't say that. Come on, Rudy.
Well, look.
Was that your first time at AT&T Park? Did Alice take care of you?
No, of course. That's not even a question. That's not even a question. But I do have to, I do wonder why the disenfranchised kids, they didn't get a chance to go down onto the baseball
field. We saw a lot of kids there.
There were.
They did not allow the children on,
The disenfranchised one. The disenfranchised ones. There was a lot of kids out on the floor, on the baseball
they
field.
Kept
the ones related to the people.
Can we bleep all that? Take all that.
Yeah, the ones that were not disenfranchised.
So you're telling me
that's not true.
These poor, poor children.
Dude, you're going to get us banned from this event,
Rudy. Had to stand there with their big eyes looking out onto, and all the other children, all the rich kids were frolicking.
Running around.
That's not true.
Playing ball.
Wow,
on the
it's
field.
Not true?
There was a, you know, there was
you
like
tell
a,
the truth
there was
about
like a
30
year old Mexican guy running around the field like he owned it.
That is absolutely true. And I am still disenfranchised, but yet I was able to be out there on the field. I went back upstairs and I saw the kids from like Richmond like fighting over pizza slices and like trying to get to the front of the
field. Did you say, "Hey guys, I'm 30 now and I made it onto the field. Someday you might make it too."
All you got to do is quit college and do comedy for 7 years and then somehow land this radio gig. You know, that's all you got to do.
That's all you got to do.
So yeah, so I thought it was interesting, you know, for the disenfranchised kids that they were actually.
How was it for you?
It was awesome for me.
As a disenfranchised 30-year-old.
I had moments of like, oh man, look at these kids, poor kids. And then they were like, hey, you can play football in center field. I was like, forget the kids. I was like, throw me a pass. Throw me a pass. I'm going deep, Roman.
Fight over your pizza. I'm going to go take advantage of my opportunities.
I'm like eating beef tartare, and I've never had that before in my life. But I felt I was in one of these situations where they were like offering me this fancy food, but I felt like I couldn't say no, even though I literally had no idea what I was putting into my mouth.
Right.
So I just took it and ate it and pretended like I had been there before.
And did you like the steak tartare?
The steak tartare was it was pretty good.
If you like raw meat.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking after I ate it. I was like, I just ate
the
raw
question
beef.
I always ask people when you talk about something like this is, would you order it? If you put your clothes on, you leave the house, you drive to some place, and the server walks up and says, "Let me tell you the specials tonight." And you've already got the menu in front of you, and you've been thinking about whatever thing, and they go, "Tonight's special is steak tartare." Do you jump?
Me? No.
Right.
Not at all. Because let me tell you something. I'm one of these people. I'm a little bit weird when it comes to beef. Okay. I like my steak done well. I know that's not acceptable.
I love that too about you, Rudy.
I'm telling you.
Well,
man,
you can order a cheaper piece. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Once you cooked it all the way through, it could be Salisbury steak for all you know.
But after I ate the steak tartare, I was thinking to myself, I was like, no, I would not. This is not something that I would deliberately go and get and pay good money for it because I like my steak cooked well.
Right.
You know?
Do you?
I think the thing too about the steak tartare is that at least it's super thin.
Like
I can eat that because I don't want raw anything raw.
You don't like sushi either?
No, I'll eat sushi. Okay, sushi's delicious. There's something I don't know why, but I can do that. But not scary sushi. Only like super tame sushi, like little
California
tuna
rolls or something.
Yeah, California rolls. You know, not doing any raw shrimp or raw clams or anything. But they shave it super super thin. And so it's like I can kind of choke it down, but I would never jump for that if it was a special. But I've seen plenty of people. Oh my God, the steak tartare!
Right. Yeah,
I'm like, all right, how about it?
But that's the tell right there is if you'd order it,
of course.
Yeah,
and I wouldn't either. Mm-hmm.
I just collapsed to the social pressure because there was about 5 or 6 people that looked like they were way beyond my tax bracket, and they were all standing in front of me getting the steak tartare, and I was the last one at the end of the line, so I was like, I don't want to look like.
Did they
I don't
give
belong.
You the all? So, young man, you're underprivileged. How did you get here today?
Yeah.
They're like, are you one of the I made it out of the ghetto stories? That
because
we're
you're not allowed to yeah. be on the field.
No, they started giving me their empty cups and plates. They thought I was the help. Yeah. I was like, really? I'm like, let me tell you something. If I had anything to do with the food, this steak would not be tartare.
Yeah, this would be cooked.
It'd be steak well
These
done.
These would be steakums.
It'd be carne asada. We'd have nothing but carne asada with toothpicks in it. With little Mexican flags on the toothpicks.
They had mini Teslas for the kids to drive around.
Oh, they did?
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
That was
what, just the rich kids or the poverty-stricken
well,
kids?
Well, they were all the kids. Got
really?
Well,
oh, all the kids, really?
The kids fighting over the pizza in the one room.
Let me tell you, the poverty-stricken kids won't even ever know who Tesla the inventor was in their life, let alone drive a Tesla. All right? They had these little kids driving Teslas. I'm like, talk about privilege. I'm like, these kids aren't even 5 yet, and they already have a state-of-the-art car. I'm still driving a Silverado from 2004, trying to figure out why my check engine light has been on. Listening, that's how I diagnose my car. I just turn it on and then I listen very closely and try to figure it out that way.
Yeah.
But these kids got Teslas and they're 4. No.
Oh, no, it works. I had one of those cars. I'd be like, it sounds like it can make it. I'm doing it.
I just got to get from point A to point B.
Sound like a death rattle. No.
I think I can make it in this thing. We're going surfing, everybody. Jump
right,
in.
Just jump in, man. Yeah, it was a sight to behold. But Holiday Heroes, great event. I had a ball. Me and Hooman, we had a blast. I met a lot of cool people.
And listen,
it was
the poor kids got pizza.
How was Franti? Yes.
Oh, he was awesome.
He was the best.
He was honestly, he was the best performance of the night. He had, you know what he had? He had that ability that a lot of great artists have to get people to pay attention. They had other performers. They even had the cast of Aladdin out there singing, but they weren't able to pull people in. But his name is Mike Franti, right?
Michael Franti.
He was incredible. He had the people literally, everybody stopped in their tracks. He pulled them all in. He had kids dancing on stage. He was the star of the night.
You know,
when it comes to performances.
This is the thing that Hooman put on
his story the other day, yeah.
Right.
The stadium was empty. Why didn't they sell tickets to that thing?
They did.
Well, but see, most of the people, here's what you didn't see. Most of the people
The tickets are pricey.
Yeah, the tickets, the pricey, the non-disenfranchised.
Gotta keep the riffraff out, Vinny.
Yes.
Just let a few of the riffraff kids in, put them in a room, and then everybody else.
Well, Sarah, you're not even that far
Tesla.
Off. They were, those kids
no,
weren't
I know.
Allowed down on
I
the field.
Know.
No, they
I,
were
I
eventually.
That
don't
the,
say that,
really?
Bro.
When?
Come on.
They had their little greasy
I love
on
this
the
event.
But the
I don't agree with anything Rudy's saying.
Like, no, nobody was there.
Well, it was just for kids, really, and parents. And
rich
so,
kids.
But it's not a cheap event. I mean, like, you know, it's a little bit.
Well, how much was a ticket?
Well, for the VIP?
Yeah.
Or to sit in the stands. I mean, the stands were empty.
There wasn't a game.
Wasn't,
there was just you got to run around and do arts and crafts and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and run around the field.
I don't think they were trying to sell out the stadium.
They only needed
10
of these Richie Riches to each buy a $2 million ticket.
That's all it takes.
No, what I saw, I'm just going by what I saw in his thing, but I saw the genie from Aladdin singing.
Right.
Yeah.
And there was no one.
Yeah.
No.
There.
I think a few people
walking
around.
There was a lot of, Barry Bonds was there. Michael Franti was there.
Barry Bonds was there. Which yeah. I thought was really cool.
Well, they keep it expensive. It keeps it exclusive, and we keep the poor people down.
Rudy you know. Antonio Ortiz was
down.
There.
Like the disenfranchised kids, I felt bad for their parents because, like, their parents, I'm sure most of them had to get a second or third job just to take their kids to this event.
Well, they're out in the parking lot waiting, you know.
Tailgating. They're out there tailgating. No steak tartare.
Right now.
No steak tartare out there.
Well, you can bet by the review you just gave that next year when you show up, the tartare will not be available to you.
Not me. I'm going to be up there.
He's going to be fighting for pizza.
I'm going to be up there trying to get a hot link with the other kids from Richmond. I'm pretty sure that's I'm going
to
be with
I
them.
I prefer a hot link to a tartare, frankly.
Give me a hot link. Give me a hot
nice
link any day.
Nice greasy one. Mm. Oh.
Oh, making
bite
me hungry.
It and the grease just. Mm.
Oh God, man. Sarah,
Vinny, not a hot link fan.
He's not really a food fan. You can't really get him excited about food.
I don't know.
What's your go-to food? Like, do you have a comfort food?
Oh well, macaroni would be my comfort food.
There we go.
So, but if I'm gonna go to, like, if I was gonna make something tonight, it would be brown rice, beans, and avocado.
Put a sprinkle a little cheese on there.
Yeah. And then some hot sauce.
No meat, Rudy.
Like,
what do you think about that?
A real third world dinner you got going on.
It fills your belly and
it's
it
like
has protein in it.
He
doesn't care. Like, I mean, I'll hold out. And
you don't care.
He doesn't. I mean, I actually
I sort of
envy it. I wish I didn't care. I'll eat
anything.
I eat a lot more than I want to. Trust me. I've got more weight on me than I would like to have. But, you know, that's family stuff. You
that's
find
true.
Yourself eating because you're.
Regular meals.
Right.
You know, here we are.
when the holidays come around, that's all the stress that I get from my family that I've been avoiding all year long. I finally get it in November and in December, so I just pig out. Just watch my cheeks. They'll be growing.
Look at mine already. Yeah. I put on 5 pounds since Thanksgiving.
By the end of January, I'll look like a fat chipmunk.
No, I'm talking about me. The same thing about me.
It's just ridiculous. You can't even try. I give up during the holidays. It's like, forget it. Who cares? It'll be my New Year's resolution.
Yesterday, this is just yesterday. This is pathetic. I pour some milk and I walk over to the cookie jar and stand by it. This is like this is how I used to get drinks in bars. I'd walk up to the bar and I'd go, give me 3 shots and a beer. Yeah. And I'd hammer the 3 shots and walk back to the people I was with the beer.
Right.
Like, as though this is all I'm having.
Right.
Just a beer.
I'm cool.
Yeah.
I'm cool.
It's good. So there I am standing by the cookie jar. I don't even want to show people I'm walking away with 4 cookies.
I have one cookie in my hand.
Put like 3 in your pocket and just carry one.
They get
hand.
All crumbly.
Yeah,
you can't really put
a
cookie. I've tried to put a cookie in the pocket. It just doesn't work.
So
got to at least wrap it in a napkin. And now you've got apparatus and people are like, what are you doing
here?
Are you
stealing cookies, Vinny? Right. Is Vinny stealing cookies?
Yeah, well.
All right, listen, let's get to some of this stuff. First of all, hi, welcome to The Secret Show.
Welcome.
Are we starting?
Yeah, our special.
Cut all that out.
Oh, yeah, I know. Hooman was that all cut out.
Right.
So Sarah, Vinny, and our special guest, Rudy, our friend Rudy,
thank you.
Studio D.
Rudy, what's your middle name?
Espinoza.
Espinoza. Rudy Espinoza Ortiz.
Yeah, I don't have like a traditional middle name. It's just
Espinoza's
my mom's
like a
maiden
last
name.
That's what it was.
I was going to say, that's not a middle name.
No,
that's a last name.
They never gave me an actual middle name. It was just like my mom's maiden name and then my dad's name and that's
it.
Right.
That's nice. It's a
little more compact. Usually Mexicans like literally have like six or seven names because you have to honor
every
single
parent. First child?
I was the first child.
Amazing that they dropped the ball on the name. You should have been, you know, Rudy. Are you
Rodolfo? I'm Rodolfo Espinoza Ortiz.
Yeah, you should have been Rodolfo.
The third?
Miguel, Felix, Arturo.
Yeah, every single
Ignacio.
Name you could possibly think of. Poco right. Loco Ortiz.
Sure. So, and then Yuzi and Bryn is not here. Yuzi and Hooman are down
in
Studio
D. I am. I'm here, guys.
Is that how Bryn sounds?
Yeah.
What?
Wow.
Go on, Bryn.
Wow. Sorry I haven't been around helping you guys out during this tough time. Kind of selfish, but hey, that's my guy. I am.
Okay, Bryn?
Hey, Bryn.
You got something in your throat, Bryn?
Yeah,
Hooman's dick.
Okay,
leave it
cut
in.
Cut that out. I don't like stuff like that.
And we have Vaughn here as well.
Yeah, I was going to
say, Vaughn.
In Studio C, we've got Vaughn. I think he might have to.
Vaughn, say something.
There he is. Oh, why can't I hear you?
Vaughn, you're on.
Is he talking and we just can't hear
him? Don't worry about it, Vaughn.
I don't know how to. Is it this one? Try now.
No.
We know you're there, Vaughn.
Is that better?
Yeah. There we go. What just happened?
Okay. Oh, his mic.
Yeah,
all right, I just turned something on. Hold on. Now talk. Okay,
that's
was
it.
All right.
We felt your presence.
I was like, I don't want to just turn random things on. I'm not usually in control
just
of this
touching
board.
Buttons.
Yeah. So I was telling Rudy in the other room, you know,
we're sort of done with Bryn's, the Bryn impression.
Oh, I'd love to go back to the Bryn impression.
I know he was, he wasn't the one born in the dirt in Florida.
No, that's old Dirty
that
Dong.
That was Dong. I was going to say, I know he was born in Florida, but he's a city guy, but he sounds like a hillbilly.
That was Dumb Dumb Dong. Anyway, I got to get back to baby and wife because I'm a big pussy. What?
Bryn, don't say that about yourself.
Yeah, Bryn.
All right, we are done now.
Okay.
There we go.
Hey, so people are excited because we are not censored anymore, as you might have noticed from the dick joke that got to stay in.
Absolutely true.
That was a good one. Our email addresses are Sarah with an H or Vinny with an IE at RadioAlice.com. That's two separate, not Sarah or Vinny as one word. Mm-hmm. This one's from Sam. Hey guys, listener since 2013 here. I just finished listening to the first podcast with no bleeps and my mind is blown. I can't even explain how crazy it is to hear those words unbleeped after listening for 5 years with them. I feel like a schoolgirl listening to it on headphones at work. Basically what I'm saying is it's so fucking awesome and I'm sure I'm not the only listener who feels that way. Thanks for being the best morning show ever, Sam. This one. Oh, this is, I don't even really remember. Sarah, your impersonation of that chick, Mary, running to the bathroom and the bad advice yesterday was so fucking funny. I laughed out loud on Bart and made a scene.
That was funny.
So I said to you that, I'm like, I don't even remember.
Well, because we were caught up with the guy who put his hand on her back, but mm-hmm. the real giveaway was Mary, who ran for the bathroom and never came back.
Did I do this alone? God, you, I got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Head to the bathroom.
Right.
Is she gone yet?
Right. That was it.
It sounds like you have a piece, like a little steak tartare on a cracker.
No.
Sounds like you're that lady.
Love you guys. Viva la swear words.
There we go.
Okay.
You got
Here's
one?
Here's our first bad advice. Ooh.
Okay,
it's going to be depressing, everyone. Prepare yourselves.
No, this is a good one. Well, it's kind of a bummer for her. It's the second one, which I'm hoping we don't have time for because it is so heavy.
Oh, wow. I kind of want to get into that.
Sure about that?
Yeah, let's do these two. Go.
Let's rock it.
Roll it.
I need some bad advice. How to get my husband to go down on me.
Oh, wow.
What?
Background. Been with my husband about 9 years now, and he's only gone down on me two, maybe three times. I've asked him about it, and his first response was, I don't like the hair. So I shaved, waxed, and lasered. Still no improvement. Then his response was, my mouth gets tired. I don't think this is a good excuse because my mouth gets tired on him and I still do it almost every time we have sex and even when we don't.
Yeah.
I personally think he's just feeling discouraged because I've never arrived for mouth kisses no matter who it was. But when I have sex, I instantly arrive. Listen to this. This lady. When I have sex, I arrive instantly and multiple times each time. I agree with Sarah's 8 minutes is plenty. I have had to end sex sessions before he's finished because I've arrived so many times, I can't keep going.
Wow.
Good for her.
That's a dream girl.
What do you need him to go to town on? Go down on you
We
for?
Like to mix it up, Sarah. You want the different feelings. A mouth job feels different than a woman area feels.
She's
the
got
same
nothing
way.
To bitch about.
Yeah, she's got nothing
it's
to bitch about. Sarah's
yeah,
right.
It's a
yeah,
different
right.
sensation,
that's
and
woman.
It's excellent.
Now, I'm not a woman. I don't know what it's like to have I don't know what it's like to have a vagina and have a man go down on my vagina. I don't know what that's like. But I agree with Vinny though. As a dude, there is a different sensation.
All right.
When a
so
woman
what
goes
should
down.
She
Hold
do?
Hold on. I'd like to disagree all with right. Rudy Espinoza Ortiz, and just say. Hey, Rudy, if you're having 7 orgasms in 8 minutes, I think you're
Don't
satisfied.
Don't be so selfish.
Yeah, bro. Come
okay,
on.
Flip yep. the table. What if, okay, what if she doesn't want him to go down and he wants to? He's like, I love eating pussy.
Mm-hmm.
We can't leave that in, can we?
I think we can.
We
oh, really?
I really do feel like we can. I mean,
I'm
right.
All right. Well,
we'll find out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to be pushing the envelope right there, but yeah. So what if... He loves it, and she doesn't. She's like, eh. I mean, you're partners. You are each other's sex life.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be willing to do, and it's not like it's painful.
Right.
So painful for his TMJ.
It's not. He's that TMJ. I've heard that excuse before.
That's a better excuse for a girl. Frankly.
No, it's not.
Yes,
good
it
enough.
Is.
I've
it's
heard
a good
that
excuse.
Yeah, it hurts my job.
Well, it
Get
hurts
it.
My
Stop
job.
It.
What I gotta do that for? I'm clicking and clacking over
you
here.
You guys actually have to use your jaw, I think, a lot more than
yeah.
we have to. We have to.
Ours
do,
is
like,
actually work.
My strength isn't like I have to
oh,
work
yeah.
my tongue muscles. Like that's what I have to do. I do like tongue calisthenics.
You
before
should.
Before
as well, you should.
Yeah, there you go. And lip up. Ow.
Yeah. Ow. I do 20 push-ups, 20 sit-ups, and then 20 tongue calisthenics, and then I'm ready for the day. You know? So there's a different.
Got to do your Gina Lola Brigida. You got to really stretch out.
There you go. Vinny knows what's up.
Got to get that tongue way past the teeth as far as possible.
What's this chick's name?
She doesn't say.
All right, listen, lady, I'm just going to tell you you're fine. Don't push the envelope. I know I disagree with at least half of the audience or a studio, but your life is good. You've got an amazing...
Yeah, you have no problem arriving, so
both
why
of
would you...
are but ignoring not- what she's asking. She's asking, she wants...
All right, I all right, got...
Then what
I
should
a,
she do?
I
what should
some
she
tips
do?
For. Here's what she should do.
Don't
First
say
all,
barbecue sauce. That's not right.
Peanut
this is
butter.
What I think. When you
butter.
Want something to eat, someone to eat something, you should make sure they're hungry.
Oh, she's going to okay. say barbecue
I am
sauce.
Hungry.
And I was thinking, figure out his favorites. Like, put some Cheez-Its in there.
No! No!
Little peppermint candies, no. whatever his favorite is. Put his favorite
nothing
food
crunchy,
down. Just
nothing
hide
crunchy.
It in the fold. Yes. Put it in there.
You know what?
Maybe like, pop a strawberry
some
out
steak
at
tartar,
him.
You know,
sure.
Steak
he won't
tartar.
Even notice.
How about like a lifesaver?
Yeah,
like cherry-flavored lifesaver.
Right.
Crunchy is dangerous.
But what if he likes hot sauce? You're not going to put no Louisiana hot sauce on
no.
down there,
well,
right?
Well, like, you know, no. There are limits.
So there is
that.
There is a good message in this writing, which is... If you're with someone and they're not doing certain things that you want and that you really think you'll miss if you commit a lifetime to this person, you may want to rethink that lifetime commitment because it should be discussed before you marry why you're not giving me head.
I got an idea. All right, listen.
All right, what's your idea?
Next
ice cream?
Time,
I was thinking ice cream.
Next time, forget pudding
idea.
Stuff.
Dairy?
Don't put anything
pudding?
In there. It's a bad idea. It's bad advice.
Pudding stuff.
Next time you're giving him a little wagga wagga, force a 69.
Yeah,
there you go.
Swing
just,
your ass up
and
over
make
and...
it so he can't lift you up.
Right.
And just
right.
force
just
yourself
slap
down on
your,
him.
Just smother
yeah, just
him.
Be like the alien, that thing that jumps on the alien, you know, the alien face.
Yeah.
Be like that thing.
For
suck
once
right on.
In your life, I think you got it right.
That's the move.
Press
right
your woman area right down onto his face.
Yeah.
That's how
don't
you
let
do
him
it.
Breathe. Subtle. Suffocate him with that.
Don't be delicate about it. Yep. Just boom. Just straddle his chin.
Just
go immediately. To
just time. You know what? His face. Just
grind your fucking clit right on his face.
Oh my
and
God,
then,
Sarah.
What?
Sarah. Bleep that voice.
That's gonna get bleeped.
It's
you know
not
it
getting
is.
Bleeped.
But
leave
Sarah,
it.
Take
it
easy. I think we need to take it easy
all
with
right.
the words.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's
Sarah.
Take it easy.
God, be a little more creative.
Yeah, Sarah.
We
crazy.
Had a discussion about this.
Yo. Feel free to depress the F out of us now.
You know, second show, and they're gonna take it off.
No,
they're
they
like,
won't.
You know
they're not gonna listen to this.
They're
please.
Like, when you drop the F and the C word, we couldn't go any further.
I don't think we've dropped the C word.
He'll
yet.
End up liking it. I like when a lady pushes her woman area into my face.
Definitely.
I like it.
And honestly though, you are right about one thing, Vinny. Like in this situation, the fact is that they are each other's partners, and it's not so much about you say, okay, she's getting off, good for her, be happy with what you got. But it's not about that. It's about her looking at her husband and saying, why won't you do this one thing for me? Because let me tell you something. If my wife gave me head like two or three times and then she stopped giving it to me, that's grounds for divorce.
I'm with you 1,000%.
What the hell is going on? Like, why? It's not even so much that I know we still have sex, and I know I'm still, you know, getting my pleasure. But it's about why are you taking something so pleasurable away from me?
Why is that off the table?
It needs to be on
the
menu. Look, you could just take that to, well, you jerk off and got finished, so you're good. Well, no, that's not a. This isn't a marriage.
That's yes. not a sharing of intimacy.
All right. I didn't want to reveal this, but
oh,
her, that woman's boyfriend/husband just emailed me. And he
Whoa.
Said,
oh, boy.
I don't want to get throat cancer.
Well, that's why
what
I
if
quit
someone's
doing
pulling
it?
That out? Yeah. You quit doing it.
I used to love it.
Yeah. He's like, I don't want to get throat cancer as he smokes a cigarette and like right. doesn't give her head. He's like, not for me. It's
yeah,
not for me.
I just don't want the throat
swallowing,
cancer.
Chewing tobacco at the same time.
Yeah. If anything, it'll clear your sinuses, sir.
Some dudes right? just don't like it.
I was just going to say, yeah, maybe he just doesn't like it. And you can't force him to do something he doesn't even like doing.
I don't understand how you don't like it, though.
Well, it's
I
not mean, for
well,
everybody.
That's because you do like it. That's, but it isn't for everyone.
I lick
some
all the stuff too. I lick
everything.
The asshole and right. the middle.
Dude, if you're not licking asshole, you're
it.
Not doing
it's
it
me.
Right.
I know.
If you're not licking a little butt, crack,
what do you mean it's
it
you?
Right.
Yeah. Radio.com.
Radio.com. Oh, I just pushed it too far.
Yeah, you just got done lecturing me. And now you're licking assholes.
He completely agrees with me.
I second that notion. You know, you gotta go all the way down there. You gotta go to regions that don't taste normal.
Shake your face. Oh, great. All right.
If it doesn't feel like you're licking the end of a D-sized battery, then you're not doing it right. If it doesn't shock you a little bit on your tongue, then something's wrong. You ever lick a battery when you were a kid?
Yeah.
There we go.
A 9-volt.
Dude, we all have done that.
Nine volt. Yeah. There we go.
Licking a penny.
Batteries are dead. Put them in the freezer. All right, go to the next one. Let's hear the depressing one.
We saved that relationship.
Yep.
Did we?
Absolutely.
All
right.
Here we go. Focus, everyone.
Just
no one do anything else. Just focus.
Let's
go
see.
Ahead.
Let's do it.
I'm still on the last one, but I'll
Don't
try.
Be on the last
You'll
one.
Be off it soon.
Okay.
I want to say I love all you guys. You guys are all wonderful. Don't say my name. This has been on my mind, and I'm hoping for some bad advice. I'm 35 years old. This happened to me when I was about 12 or 13 years old, 20 plus years ago. Mm. My grandfather passed away in China, and my mom and older sister went to China for the funeral. My sister's 10 years older than me, so the mom and the older sister go. My dad had two jobs, so she's about 12, so he's leaving her home while he works. My dad had two jobs. He works both days and nights. One night he was working late. I was home alone, which is not an issue. I'm able to take care of myself. But the garage door started malfunctioning. It started like opening and closing by itself. I started freaking out. I couldn't call my dad. He worked at night as a janitor. And 20 years ago, not everyone had a cell phone. I called the only other adult I knew was around. I called my sister's boyfriend. He would have been about 23 at the time. They had already been dating for a few years, plans to get married. He looked at the girl. He came over, looked at the garage, turned it off so it wouldn't keep going up and down by itself. He stayed with me since I was kind of scared. We were watching TV in the living room. He started by rubbing my back. I can't remember if I was already laying down or he asked me to lay down. After about a half an hour rubbing my back, he started putting his hand down my pants and touched my butt. Mm. I got up. I told him I was going to the bathroom. And after I didn't come back out to the living room, but went into my room, about a half hour after that, he knocked on my room and told me he was heading out, which I said, fine, my dad will be home soon. I've never told anyone about this. He's never touched me inappropriately again, but I did avoid him after that. Ever since the media has been talking about sexual harassment, this has constantly been on my mind. My sister is married to him. He is my brother-in-law. I want to talk to my husband about it, but I feel like this will change the way he acts toward my brother-in-law. Should I see a therapist? I never went to a therapist before. I'm not quite sure where to start. Also, we have two little ones, 6 and 3. I've got a full-time job. I just don't know if I can find the time. I remember Vinny told us about the time when something happened to him as a child where an older boy took advantage of him.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I've told that story.
Tell me it again. Me and Yuzek couldn't remember it.
What?
Yeah, we totally don't remember
like,
that story.
I have no idea. What
really?
Happened. Yes.
Yeah. Well, are we going to finish this person's story? Or
All
do
right.
you want to?
But I want to hear that, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay.
Is that something that still bothers you, Vinny? Do you think it's something I should just try to forget? But I've been doing that for 20 years, and it's still in the back of my mind. Lately, when I see him, I feel disgusted. I know I can't tell my sister for sure. I guess I'm not sure what I want to happen. Any advice would be helpful. Thanks for reading. Don't say my name.
Well,
who wants to start?
Like right. Sarah said on the air, I think you said it, this is an easy one. Yes, go see a shrink. Mm. Talk to someone about it. You don't first sort it out there and then decide what to do once you've talked to someone.
Because the thing is, it is the easy answer is you do tell.
No, the, that's not the easy answer.
Well, it's just that, unfortunately, when you tell on a family, this is why this gets buried in families, because people don't want to blow their family up.
That's always been my biggest question. That's always, I've never been through a situation like that, and I don't know anybody very close to me that's been through something like that, but that has always been my biggest question. Why don't people just kind of put
tell about the uncle or the grandfather or the whatever?
And I'm sure there's a legitimate reason. I just don't know what it is.
I'll it's tell because you the they don't want the family to blow up.
The family will fall apart.
The family falls apart.
And all the relationships are destroyed.
Right.
So let me just say this to the woman. I'm not an expert, but I think I'm going to give better advice than everybody.
You're amazing.
So, you're the best.
What, like, even if you, like, told your sister and confronted your brother-in-law, like, will that give you the satisfaction? Will you, at the end, be like, oh, wow, what a wonderful relief off my shoulders? Because when you do that, it's a domino effect. So you're going to put so many things in motion that people are just not going to be able to recover from. And you're not going to be able to recover from either. So just balance out all the consequences of what you're about to do before you do anything. Be careful.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying go talk to someone. Go to a shrink.
You get a plan.
I hear you're busy. But if this is causing you sleeplessness, causing you to only think about that when you're with your family, if it's causing you this much distraction, it's worth the hour a week to go sort it out there first. Well, and if this person asks the right questions and is a professional and helps you decide whether this person may be a risk to the other family members or...
that's my problem with
that's it. That's the thing that you may have to consider, but that is where you should sort that out.
And
is
just
there.
And just know this. It's very likely that when, like, let's just say you go down that road where you confront your brother-in-law and you tell your sister and you, there's a huge chance where this guy's going to deny everything. And it's just going to be your word against his.
Oh, he'll start out by denying. The reasons to do it are exactly what Vinny just said. Because that is something that this kid did when he was 23 years old. It's not 20 years later. How many people has he done this to? Whose else's life will he be effing up with his actions? What about his own children? I mean, these are all these unknown things. And it's why people don't report, because they don't want to blow up their family. On the other hand, then all the other cousins are getting molested.
Right.
Like, it's not okay to not say anything. But I think Vinny has it right. You go to a therapist, you talk this whole thing out, and you either come up with a plan. Maybe it is that you decide to do nothing. Maybe you confront the guy and he apologizes and suddenly you feel better about everything. And
Or
maybe not.
Look, more often than not, these things are patterns, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the fear is this is a pattern the guy has. But is it in some way possible that you being the sister of the person that he's in love with is maybe led him to make one foolish? I don't know. It sounds dumb coming out of my mouth. It doesn't make sense that it would be the only time.
Wouldn't it be nice if this was the one foolish thing that he did?
But I do think that what really needs to happen for you is you need to get yourself sorted out first.
Yes.
And then
it's bothering you.
Yeah, deal with the rest of it.
What about the idea of actually after she gets it sorted out? Or maybe before she gets it sorted out, if she feels confident or she feels strong enough, what about the idea of actually confronting him on a one-on-one level?
That's what I'd do.
And not making it about anybody else. Now, I'm not advocating for, you know, keeping a secret, because, yes, you're right, Sarah. He may be doing this to other kids. He may have done it to somebody else. She has kids now. I definitely understand the concern. But what about just confronting your brother-in-law one-on-one, pulling him off to the side and say, look, it's been 20-plus years, and I need you to know how I felt and what you made me go through over these last two decades. And I'm telling you this because I have to heal myself. And also, I need to let you know that I got my eye on you, because I don't know if you've done this to other people in the past, and there's other kids in our circle
but
now.
But I want you to know I'm still feeling the repercussions of what you did to me on one night 20 years ago.
And I don't know exactly what the results of that are going to be, but it's one way in my mind and again, this is coming from the mind of somebody who's never been through something this heavy. But in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is one way for you to let out what you've been holding in for the last 20 plus years. And at the same time, kind of put the ball in his court and say, look, I'm not going to destroy our family, but I need you to know what you did to me, because I need you to understand the impact, if you are doing this to somebody else, the impact of what you're going to leave in their life for the rest of their life.
All right, hold on. Hold on. That is a wonderful, idyllic scenario. I mean, we all love that idea. But first of all, that takes tremendous courage. Tremendous. Secondly, she has to figure out a way to make this happen where they're alone and no one else can see. That those are two huge things. Thirdly, what if he says,
I don't like the alone thing.
Yeah, that's
tough. Well, how else are they going
to
do it?
They're going to do, I mean, it can't be. Take him to a separate room at a party. I don't want her to meet
don't
him
know.
Somewhere where he's going to, like, now she's in trouble.
No, listen.
I don't like that.
If it's anywhere without them being alone, somebody is going to either overhear. It's not going to have the effect that it needs to have. And then thirdly, what if he comes back and says, I don't know what you're talking about. You're crazy. I didn't do any of those things.
He is going to come back with that.
All right.
100%.
Well, then,
yeah, I mean,
that's not great advice.
We would never want to say anything that would put you at risk, but we've also probably seen too many movies. The guy's just going to deny it.
Right.
That's what he's going to do. He's not going to immediately rape you or latch onto your neck and choke you out.
Right.
It, most likely, he's just going to say, you're nuts. I never did that.
Yeah,
that never happened.
And also, if you do it in a one-on-one situation, the risk factor of doing it in a one-on-one situation is that he can immediately deny it, and then from that point on, it's my word against yours. Because nobody else was around.
And you didn't tell anybody.
Exactly. And nobody else was around to feel the impact of letting it off your, you know, getting it off your chest and saying it for the first time in 20 plus years. Nobody was around. I understand that has a lot to do with it. Like the psyche of the family can be affected by that moment.
Let me tell you something else.
I want to say something to you.
Oh, my God. Everyone, let's hand the talking stick over.
Right, right.
Go ahead.
All right, so do not do what Rudy says, and I'm going to tell you why.
Okay, why?
If this completely backfires, which I'm going to say 50% chance it will. I'm going to say 75% chance it will. He might very well go to your sister and say, you are not going to believe what your sister just accused me of, and that will just decimate your family. Do not do what Rudy said. All right, go over to you, Vinny.
I forgot.
Tell us your thing.
Well, it's not my thing. I wasn't hoping to tell this story. I don't know why this came up. So
well, she brought it up in the thing, and you said,
I don't even know why she remembers it.
I know. How come she remembers it?
Because she had this thing, I guess.
So when I was a young kid, I want to. How old are you when you're in third grade?
Like eight.
Okay, eight. When I was eight, I was already skateboarding a lot with a lot of older kids. So I was around punk rock and older kids and the skate park and all that. And these kids are the kids in my neighborhood that I would hang out with too. So one of the guys that I looked up to was this kid named Mike. I won't say his last name because I didn't, even though this is all true, I don't need no trouble. One of the things that happened, the first thing that happened was he had a pool and it was me and a bunch of the older boys and we were going to skinny dip. You know, boys, it was just whatever. I just was like, okay. And I strip my trunks off and everyone stops and is like, oh my God, I already had hair on my man area.
Ah, there we go.
In third grade.
And none of those dudes did.
So they're a couple years older than
you. So they're all looking at me like, what?
Right.
The hell?
And right. Are you looking at them like, hey, what the hell?
The only reason I know that I had hair there at that age is because of this incident. Because I didn't know there was anything.
Right.
I don't
to
remember
stand
it
out.
Coming in.
Was it like a big bush on top?
I don't remember.
Your balls were just getting hairy?
I don't have any recollection of why I looked different than they did. But that was the first thing that happened in relation to me being around other boys and my penis.
Right.
Right.
So the next thing that happens is at this same dude's house, I don't know who used to do this, and this is not something I would advocate. I'm not trying to say you should do this or it's funny or it's fun. It's actually probably super dangerous. But we used to do this thing where you would hyperventilate and then you would take a breath and someone would push on your neck and you'd pass out.
Mm-hmm. I've seen this.
Yes.
I do those still today.
Right.
What's that?
I do those today still.
Yeah, don't do those, by the way. Because like you can actually, you can literally cause brain damage by doing that.
Okay. It was a Facebook challenge not that long ago.
It really was. Okay, so that's something.
Kids, don't do it.
We did when we were little kids. So we were doing this at this dude's house, this Mike kid's house, and then he goes, I know another way to make you pass out. And I was like, okay. And he's like, you got to take your clothes off. And I'm all, okay. And I don't even know at this point.
Is it just you and him at this point?
Yes. Okay. And we're in his bedroom. So I take off my clothes, I lay down, and he starts running his hands around my body. And I'm going, I'm not passing out.
Right.
I don't even feel like I'm going to pass out. I don't even know why. And it was weird. Right. It was that, this ain't right.
Even in your little 8-year-old mind, you went, oh, yeah. There's something going on here. Right. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, but right. Something is going on.
So I got up and left.
Yeah.
And that was a dude that I looked up to and never got to be around him or talk to him again. I didn't go home and tell anybody, and it doesn't trouble me today. Mm. It's not. The truth is, nothing happened.
Right.
Nothing happened.
You extricated yourself. Yeah. And you know what? In some ways, well, this was incredibly inappropriate what he did. You got yourself out of that situation. Girl who wrote in. I'm getting back to her, kind of. You know, that's not something that's not on your mind, but you don't feel like it's changed your perspective.
No, and I don't. I do think, too, that, you know, at that age, whether or not this was a kid that was gay and struggling with his sexuality or someone who was going to go on to molest other little kids. I don't know what that dude's deal
was. How much older would you say he was?
Yeah, that was my question.
I'd say he was 3 to 4 years older than me.
So he was about seventh grade.
Sixth or seventh grade.
Right. So it's possible that this was just him, you know, I'm into this kid and I like him. And, right.
But
and
it's
didn't
also,
really know.
Junior it's also
high.
Possible that he was in puberty and just having whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Whatever kind of things. I mean, there's no doubt that, and we talked about this the other day, parents should be talking to their kids about all the stuff and things they're feeling and experiences they're having so they don't make mistakes on other humans and learning from those mistakes, so to speak, while someone else is being crushed by that.
Right, exactly. Suffering the rest of their life because of something that you did.
So, you know,
I think things need to be spelled out to kids, and you should say the uncomfortable things to your kids, you know, things you're not even talking about them, but you're in the car and you go, hey, by the way, when you take selfies, you know, here are the rules.
Yeah. Right.
If you're taking naked pictures, 8-year-olds, don't do
more
that.
More awkward
a.
situations would be helpful, I
right.
think.
Right. Yeah. You know, that's your job as a parent. Tell them that touching other people and being in their space, that's not okay.
Yeah.
And if someone touches you and is in your space, also not okay. And if I said to my kids when they were from the time they were very little, if anyone ever tells you not to tell me something, that's the thing you need to tell me.
Right.
I'll protect you no matter what. If someone threatens you, threatens to kill anybody, threatens you with violence or anyone in the family with violence, I mean, I said it. And I think that sometimes a kid who hasn't heard that goes, oh my God, they might hurt my mommy and daddy.
Right.
Like if you say, that's the stuff you have to tell me. I mean, they never had anything to report.
You know, Vinny, like the
that
one,
I know of.
I'm listening to your story and I'm thinking to myself, you know, there's like this. And you say, obviously, like it doesn't bother you or it's not something that you're dealing with, but you remember the story. And my thing is, when I hear stories like that, I can't help but think that even though some kids may not have been spoken to by their parents or maybe a third grader or a fourth grader who doesn't really know what's going on in that moment, I still think that there's some sort of instinct that we have, that we feel when something is out of, he knew. Yeah, he knew. Mm-hmm. He understood.
Well,
even though nobody
guys,
it, so
I didn't
knew.
Pass out. I was supposed to. I mean, it was pretty
you
black
felt
and white.
Like you didn't know what you knew, but you knew something
was
wrong.
Yeah, no, that situation was wrong. And this is a kid, I'm telling you, I like that kid.
Yep.
I looked up to him. We listened to punk rock records together. He was a good skateboarder. You know, when we'd go to, at that age, I looked up to the older kids because they could do stuff that I couldn't.
Do you look back on that kid in particular and feel groomed? Like he was getting you to a point where we're going to skinny dip. Oh, we're going to do
this. Oh, no, I don't think so. I think this was
spur of the moment.
You were a
younger
kid.
Yeah, I think it was. I just don't think it was that.
Okay.
I think that we just lived in a. You just play. You're a kid. You play. I mean, you have no job.
Yeah.
So you play all the time.
Just living life.
And, you know, I mean, I don't think that was the case. But, and I don't want to minimize what happened to her,
no,
if it's
not.
Huge to her, but to me, yeah, that sucked because I liked that kid and was
well, you got to cut him out of your life, or he cut you out, whatever the case may be. She sees this dude on a regular basis. Right.
And that's
husband.
I think that's why seeing a shrink will help you sort out whether yep. the victimization isn't about the physical act that happened to you in particular, because nothing really happened to you. You walked away from it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the now you're carried with a burden that this person has done something. They crossed a line and they're still in your life and they might have kids of their own and you might be worried they're
turning their attentions that elsewhere.
It could go further. They right. could progress with their actions.
Well,
and it's also, I think there's an element of knowing that somebody that I trusted actually had malicious intent for me. You know, and you have to wonder, because even though nothing, you know, and I'm doing air quotes, nothing happened, you still walk away from that situation
saying
to
yourself, the person wanted something to happen.
They wanted something to happen, and I trusted that person. And I think that that's probably where a lot of the pain comes from, is the fact that somebody broke your trust. Somebody that you actually trusted made you feel vulnerable. And what is it that they actually wanted to do? Yeah, I got away, or mm-hmm. nothing actually didn't progress. But it must feel terrible to know that somebody you trust had a malicious intent.
And I think that everybody has a story like this, and it really is the individual person and how they've reacted to it. Because there's definitely stuff that I'm like, I even at the time, you know, you get that feeling, you're like, oh God, there's something wrong here. And it's all about how your own brain processes it and whether or not it becomes a thing you can't live with. And
yeah.
and it sounds like, you know, you're writing to us. It might be time to go talk to someone.
Right.
It's
just
weird
to sort it out.
That this comes up quite a bit, especially among people who suffer from addiction or whatever ism. We will go to the doctor to get something fixed, you know, an arm injury or mm-hmm. whatever. But for our mental health, we just seem to think that I don't have time for that because
yeah.
that injury isn't showing or pressing in a way that a broken arm would be.
Right.
Right, right, right.
But you should go get help.
Yep.
Because we focus so much on the exterior.
Yep.
You know, we don't focus enough on the interior. And, you know, to this woman who wrote in, I mean, I would definitely say that, you know, going to speak to somebody who's there professionally to listen to you, to help you get these things off your chest. I don't know what the result is and what the proper path is, but I do feel like you can't go wrong with expressing how you feel to somebody who's there.
It feels really good to tell someone.
You know, somebody who's there to listen to you, somebody who's there with confidentiality. You don't have to worry about somebody you can trust, I guess is what I'm saying. You can go to somebody you can trust, get it off your chest. I think that would be the first step in the right direction. After that, each mind is its own universe, so I don't know exactly where that route is going to take you, but definitely get it off your chest because
yep.
you deserve it. You don't deserve to feel like you're just carrying around this secret and it's pressing you down and you have to see this person all the time. You don't deserve that. You,
yeah.
you deserve
step one. Go talk to someone.
I always think
I
about it like living with ghosts, you know, like, and I remember seeing a dude I talked to actually before I came back here, and the dude was, I talked to him and I expressed all of the things that had happened and what my motives might be and how I wanted to face the mistakes I'd made. And he was definitely like, yeah, dude, I don't see any ghosts in you. You look good. You're good. You're okay. But those ghosts are the things you're carrying around, the
right.
things that make you look away from someone. You know?
Definitely.
At the dinner table, this person, that's a ghost you're carrying.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to start to exercise those things, even if it's only for your own. You may not be able to rescue the people that he
potentially,
or maybe
right.
he never has. None of that is really the first issue. The first
right.
issue
you
is
are the first
yeah
issue.
You need to straighten yourself out so you are good,
right.
and then from there maybe you can do something with him.
Most definitely.
Anybody else want to throw
I
in?
I feel like we've done enough secret shows for the rest of the year. All right.
No, I think that was all really good advice.
It's heavy though.
Yeah,
heavy.
I know, super heavy.
I think I'm 100% right. Nobody write in to disagree with me.
Are you eating a
I'm
bagel
sure
right now?
Yeah,
what are
sure
you eating?
Eating
something.
What is Bryn eating? What is Bryn
yeah,
eating
what's
back
oh,
there?
Oh man, I'm not here, girl.
Well, you were right though. That definitely was a doozy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
okay.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Send any bad advices to Sarah or Vinny at radioals.com. And we'll see you on, what is today? Oh, it's today, Thursday? We'll see you next
Thursday.
Tuesday.
Next week.
Yeah,
bye.
See you on Tuesday. Bye.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Alice at 97.3's Sarah and Vinny.